from Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. Mark 14, 1 through 9. It was now 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest him by stealth and kill him. For they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar from the people." And while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly. And she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, "Why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her."
Thank you, Seth, for that reading. Now, if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 26. Welcome this morning. We're glad you're here. Especially, we're happy to have our visitors with us. So good to see y'all with us and to be a part of this assembly this morning. A time to remember. Last evening, we were over at the Moons and we were having Bible study. And during that discussion, we were talking about memory, short-term and long-term. And we were talking a little bit about, well, it's stronger a short-term memory for some and a long-term memory for others. And I was sitting there thinking, short and long, I seem to be lacking in both directions. I may be in trouble. But we are people that remember. We remember a lot of things in life, but we also seem to forget. And I am thankful that our God has chosen to give us a memorial like we just took part in weekly so we can't forget. If we assemble and we worship our Lord as He's prescribed, then we remember what Jesus did for us. And of course, that's why we're here. That's what it's all about. But yesterday, putting out the flags brought home a little bit about what I prepared this week to talk about, and that being a memorial, as we think about Memorial Day, to help us to remember. Remember those who have fallen. In the bulletin, you'll notice there's a little bit of history about the Memorial Day as we have it. For a lot of folks, it's simply a holiday, but for others, it's a time to remember. A time to remember those, and particularly it was designed to remember those veterans who gave themselves in service to our country and then have passed on. We have Veterans Day, of course, to honor and remember veterans, but yet we have the Memorial Day to remember what they did, and many of them gave their lives. And of course, when we think about this memorial, we think about the Jesus who gave His life. But I want to look at it a little bit different memorial. And we saw the parallel account unfold for us as Seth read in Mark. But let's go to Matthew now and see what Matthew has to say. Starting with verse 6. "And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper." Of course, he's not a leper any longer. He's been in touch with Jesus. But now Jesus is there in his house. "And a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil. And she poured it on his head as he sat at the table." Now this would have been a sight to see. Because this ointment was not something you just poured out liberally. Because it was so expensive, it was treasured. But here we have a woman willing to give up and actually a lifetime treasure, because when you got this ointment, you used it very sparingly because it was so expensive. But she was willing to give it up for something she deemed very worthy. And that, of course, was anointing Christ. She poured it on his head as he set the table. But then verse 8 shifts gears for us. "But when the disciples saw it," Scripture says they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste?" Verse 9, for this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. They knew it was very expensive, but they're a little bit concerned because it seems like a waste of that which was expensive, that which could be sold. In John chapter 12, we have some clue as to why they were a little upset about that. But I want you to notice what Mark 14 verse 5 said. And they criticized her sharply. That word criticize means they scolded her. It wasn't just they made the comment, but they actually scolded her. Can you imagine that? Here she's doing something for Christ, and they're scolding her. Verse 5, for it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii, Mark said, and given to the poor. So they're not happy at all. They're indignant, and they criticized her. But then we have verse 10 of Matthew 26. But when Jesus was aware of it, He said to them, why do you trouble the woman? Why do you trouble the woman? In other words, they were out of place. And then He goes on, for she has done a good work for me. Now, they would not have classified this as a good work. But Jesus says it was. Verse 11, for you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. This woman was able to see something that they could not see. This woman was able to put a value on Christ greater than they could. And that is in its own right very significant. He goes on, verse 12, for in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Disciples were having a difficult time accepting the very concept that here's the King and He's going to go die on the cross. And even though Jesus repeatedly would tell them, I'm going to go die, they could not get themselves wrapped around that concept because in their minds, they were still thinking earthly king, kingdom, and no way could this king go and die on us. But this woman understood, didn't she? She got the concept. She did it for my burial, Jesus says. Verse 13, and surely I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. This woman has a memorial that's right here in this book. This woman and the action that she took, the things that she did, live on. It's been over 2,000 years. It lives on because of the fact that we have it recorded, just as Jesus said, in this book, wherever the gospel is preached. This memorial, as you've probably been noticing the headlines, was an act of faith and love. She demonstrated that faith and love when she anointed Jesus, understanding that He would be buried, that He would die. And because of that, there stands this in Scripture, a memorial. The word memorial is an interesting word. It refers to that which references our memory. In fact, as you look at the definition, a memorial is that by which the memory of any person or thing is preserved. That's what a remembrance is all about. That's what this remembrance was all about earlier. It was about preserving the memory of what Christ did for us. It's used in Mark 14:9, which we've already read, as well as Acts 10, verse 4, about prayers and alms coming up for a memorial before God, for a remembrance. We have Memorial Day. And when you think about it, as you ponder all of the stones that stand with names imprinted, what are those stones there for? They're there so that we don't forget. They're there to stand as a memory of a person and therefore preserving that memory. And I like this little thing here, and I got it off the internet. And if you can read the words, I'll try to make it bigger right here if I can for you. Well, maybe not. It doesn't want to cooperate. There we go. Here we go. Look at this here. Happy Memorial Day. Recounting the sacrifice of soldiers. And then it says, we will never forget. That's what a memorial is about. This book records what this woman did as a memorial so that we would not forget. Our nation honors soldiers so that we will not forget. And so folks gather to remember. Here's a picture of folks yesterday putting out flags so people will not forget. And as we were going grave to grave and reading off the names and looking down, I was noticing what rank they were, the soldiers, and what when they died, how long they lived. And I tell you, it was hard to fight back the tears. Because it's an emotional thing to remember. And I don't even know these people, but to remember, here's people who went in the service, many not knowing really what they were getting themselves into, and some of those people lost their lives. But thankfully, we can remember. And those flags that were put out yesterday by many in the congregation here that volunteered their time will stand today if the wind doesn't blow them away, and tomorrow for remembrance. So that the memory of a person is preserved. I caught this picture right here yesterday, and the wind was blowing, the flag was flying. And then, I don't know if you noticed it, but as you look at these tombstones, and I don't know these people, maybe you do, but it's the Berries. I don't know who the Berries are, but somebody does, very likely. Why? Because in that stone, their name is etched so that they can remember. One place, you'll see little signs like this. Someone had put hero. And yes, truly, men who make that sacrifice are heroes. They're willing to give their lives. And of course, we have the greatest hero to think about. And that's why we're here to worship the Almighty God, because He sent His Son to do what other men could not do. Give Himself as that sinless, perfected sacrifice. The perfect for the imperfect. In Matthew 26, verse 8, I'm still very much emotionally charged when I read about the disciples. Because it uses the plural here, that it's His disciples. One account speaks of Judas. But His disciples saw it, and they, plural, were indignant. Think about that. They were indignant. Why this waste? They saw that ointment, and it was about a year's salary. And they were thinking, what a waste, a year's income poured on the head of Jesus. But that was not a waste. This is seen in a cemetery. I believe this one was taken in Illinois. And there was kind of an uproar in the city because there were those who were trying to get the city to deal with the problem of people just putting any and everything on the graves. And they were thinking, this is enough. You know, there's just too much stuff. What a waste of material goods and money, and also of time cleaning all this up. Disciples were saying, what a waste. But to a family who is honoring the loved one by keeping their memory alive, they don't see that as a waste. This woman made a judgment call. She valued what she had, of course, but she was willing to give that up, not as a waste, but as a memory. Now, if we think about a waste, I think about this. How many of you have been inundated with ads for tomorrow? And they make it real tempting, almost like they're going to give you the store when you walk in. Come shop here. Come spend all your day shopping. Some of us might think that is a waste, of course. It might even be a waste of a lot of money. But why the waste? Well, it's because we as human beings do forget. Some of us don't have that very good long-term and short-term memory. Or we get distracted easily and we forget. But Jesus made sure that this story would not be forgotten. To the point wherever the gospel is preached, this story is alive. Because it's recorded. And because we forget. And that was a problem the people have had since the beginning. Forgetting. Particularly forgetting God. Memory does diminish. In fact, to the point in Hosea 13, verse 6, that God is forgotten. And we cannot forget our Maker. We might forget a city. That memory may perish if a city no longer exists. But not God. God is not to be forgotten. In fact, His name is to stand as a memorial. Psalms 135, verse 13, as you can read there. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and Thy memorial. Psalms 145, verse 7. They shall utter the memory of Your great goodness and shall sing of Your righteousness. God wants us to worship so that we remember. We partake of the Lord's Supper to remember, because that remembrance is vital. And I'm thankful that the Almighty God has given us great help in remembering. In fact, clearly, remembrance is there because the fact that it's written down and the gospel is preached. And notice as you look at the latter part of verse 13, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. What makes this memorable, what makes this worthy of remembrance is what she chose to do. God has provided us with knowledge. Knowledge, so that what's written in the book stands as a memorial. Goes back, if you go back to the Old Testament, to many places, but this is one particularly in Exodus 17, verse 14. The Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it. Page after page after page of our Bibles is filled with information so that we can remember. And many times there were memorials established, put in place, so we can remember. They were written so that they could be read. And throughout the Old Testament down to the New Testament, the Almighty God established memorials for us. Just like this one. This was a memorial established by Christ. It shall be told as a memorial to her. Now there wasn't a day set aside. Wasn't a time that this was just where we're to stop and remember. That was done with the Lord's table. But we have it as a memorial to remember what this woman did. You look back the Old Testament, for example, Leviticus 23, verse 24. Speak to the children of Israel, came the cry, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest. Notice what Scripture says about this Sabbath rest. A memorial. And look what's accompanying this memorial. A blowing trumpet. A holy convocation. One translation, the New Century Version, translates this. Tell the people of Israel on the first day of the seventh month, you must have a special day of rest. A holy meeting when you blow the trumpet for a special time of remembering. That's what Memorial Day is about, isn't it? A special time of remembering. And those special times are important. That's why on calendars, there are certain things that are done to remember. How many of you circle things on your calendar? Now that we have smartphones, we can put it in there and it sends us alerts so we don't forget. But there are many memorials that are placed upon the calendars. In Exodus 12, verse 14, so this day shall be to you a memorial. Even in the Old Testament, we read about certain specific times, days that were set aside to remember. If you notice that verse 24 of Leviticus that we've already looked at, notice that he says specifically, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, it's on the calendar. And that is so that it will not be forgotten. And then a memorial is given identity. As you look at Hosea 12, verse 5, for example, the Lord of God of hosts declares, the Lord is His memorable name. Then verse 5 in the ASV reads, even Jehovah, the God of hosts, Jehovah is His memorial name. They take that and transliterate it so that we have that word Jehovah there. Lord is the translation. But the point being is God did not design Himself to be forgotten. Even though Israel, time and time again, would forget. They would forget the law. They would forget that God was the one and only God. They would forget to worship God. God says that's not to be. He is the one who is to be remembered. And He has identity. He is the great I Am. But then you look at the various things that God did for the people when He instituted certain memorials like the Passover. It was given identity. There were actions that they were to take and a time in which they were to take those actions so that it would not be forgotten. And then there's number 5, a significance to a material item fixed to the memorial. And this is all going to make sense here in a moment. If you look at Exodus 12, verse 21, Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take a lamb for yourselves according to your families and kill. And notice it doesn't just say kill the lamb, but kill the Passover lamb. And the New King James translates that Passover with a capital P. Why? Because it's given identity. And it's a material item that is given identity that is connected to help us remember. Exodus 12, verse 17 speaks of the feast of unleavened bread. Notice once again you have the capitals here. Feast of unleavened bread. For on this day, this same day, I will have brought you your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations, an everlasting ordinance. It was a ordinance designed to help them to remember that God was the deliverer. And it has special significance. There's another passage in Zechariah 6, verse 14 that's quite fascinating. We think about items that are used to remember. Now the elaborate crown shall be a memorial in the temple of the Lord for Helam, Tobijah, Jedidiah, and him the son of Zephaniah. And then verse 15. Even those from afar shall come and build the temple of the Lord. Then you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. And this shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Many of the Old Testament memorials were established so that people remembered, so that they would remember not only God, not only what He had done, but also that they had responsibility to do what God wanted them to do. Probably remember this one in Exodus 39. There was memorial stones in Ephod for the sons of Israel. We can spend a lot of time talking about that. But I just wanted to demonstrate to you how God used material items to help the people remember. And to summarize, God lines out throughout the Scriptures that we have help to remember that which is important. How many of you have ever tied the string on your fingers so you wouldn't forget? That was before smartphones and alarms going off. How many of you wrote something down and carried it in your pocket so you wouldn't forget it until it went through the washing machine? How many have told of you still today tell your wife, honey, please don't let me forget? That's my big one. Then Kathy gets out her smartphone and programs it in so she won't forget. Why? Because we need to remember. God helps us, number one, by establishing memorials. We see in Scriptures that certain specific times or days were set aside for memorials. And then those memorials were given identity. And then there was significance to the material items that were involved with that memorial. Just like as we look here, although we don't have a set day to remember, we have the remembrance. What's it about? It's about the ointment and the action of the woman and what she's done. And today we can remember that. And why? Simply because it is written. Memorial Day is a time that people set aside to remember. And it's not always a joyful time because it brings back those memories of those that have gone on. So maybe we've lost that connection with. But aren't those memories valuable? They're of tremendous value. And I'm thankful that we have that capacity to remember. Now think about this memorial. God wanted to make sure that we did not forget. That we did not put to the side and count insignificant the memorial to the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what did He do? He established, and Jesus did it Himself, He established memorial. Jesus took His disciples, set them apart, and He took the bread, and He took the fruit of the vine, and told them why they were going to partake. That He was going to go to the cross and die. And that they could remember the broken body and the blood that flowed from the cross. And what did God do for us? He sets aside a special day for that memorial. Scripture tells us in Acts 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. To partake of that Lord's Supper, the communion, wherein we remember the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ, the broken body and the blood that flowed. And clearly He gave the memorial identity because of these emblems that we partake. It is that communion. It's a remembrance of Christ. And it has a significant identity because it points to Jesus. And of course, those material items have significance. They're not taken lightly. Sometimes I chastise myself because I get to thinking of something and I don't think about those emblems when I've just taken them like I should. Because it's easy to forget. But those emblems are designed to help us remember. And thankfully, we have what's written in order to remember. It's written down, and we have the record of it. Just like this woman who did this deed, it's written so that we remember. The memorial that Jesus established in the Lord's Supper was for us to remember. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, look what you do. You proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Yesterday, when those flags were placed on the grave by many of you, those flags had significance. Those flags identified a veteran. And they stand as that memory. And they proclaim, here lies the veteran. Our Jesus went to a cross. Years have gone by, years have gone by, years have gone by. But aren't you happy? We still remember. Why do we remember? Because of the memorial that God has designed. And we think about Memorial Day once a year, but do you know we have this weekly? We have a weekly Memorial Day established in Scripture. It's not man's plan. It's not our idea just to do it every first day of the week. We do it because that's what they did in the first century. And that is important. Some folks will only do it maybe once or twice a year. You forget, don't you? God did not want us to forget. He wanted this to be our memorial weekly. And what's the effect of that? There's where it's so important. We have in this scripture context, disciples upset with this woman. They were crying, waste, waste, waste. This could have been sold you for a better purpose. But the problem was they did not see the significance of the memorial. I fear sometimes because people don't take the time to weekly remember this memorial, they forget the significance. Because in this memory of this memorial that the Lord established, that we partake daily with these emblems, day, a week, every week, on the first day of the week, let me say. Those emblems are there for a reason. Why? They are designed to touch us, to reach our hearts, and to remind us of what Jesus did for us. In fact, in verse 10 of Matthew 26, when Jesus was aware of what was going on with the disciples, He said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial." Her memory stands. And it stands to remind us of what Jesus was going to do. And we read that He did it. He died. But He didn't stay there. He was resurrected, and now we remember it. Weekly, first day of the week, will we partake of the memorial that God established. And of course, when lives are touched by what was done, it makes a difference. When I read this account, it's hard not to be involved emotionally. You have the anger and indignancy of the apostles on one side, the disciples, then on this side you have the woman who was offering this to Jesus. The Christian Chronicle carried a story about hundreds who came together, and this was a couple years ago, I think, hundreds who came together to mourn a church member, a Christian, who was killed in Afghanistan. A family was left behind. And over the last couple of years, I'm sure that there's many of those hundreds that came together somewhat kind of forgotten. They were there when it happened. They were there to support the family. But as you can see from this picture, those babies over 2 years, those children have grown up. And mom wants to make sure they don't forget. But when you look at this picture, it's hard not to be touched emotionally, isn't it? And I'm sure it's hard for a mother to take her children out there and to spend time in face of that grave to remember. And while she knows it might be emotionally difficult and challenging for her children, she knows she does not want that memory to fade. Folks, our God doesn't want this memory to fade. I feel sorry for those who walk away from the Lord and forget what's done every first day of the week. Because God did not want this memory to fade from people's lives and hearts and minds. He wanted them to remember on a weekly basis. He wanted them to keep that memory alive so that memory never dies, but it lives in our hearts. And I am so thankful that we can partake of that which lives in our hearts. But I need to ask this morning, does this live in your heart? Is this a memory that moves you emotionally to say, "I truly appreciate what God has done for me. I truly appreciate what was done in that sacrifice. And I want to give my life to serve the God who gave up His Son, who gave up so much for me and gave us the memory, the true Memorial Day, every Lord's Day." This morning, if your life is not one of joy and remembrance, because you know you're struggling with sin, you're struggling with being right with the Lord, you're struggling with knowing you need to do something to make yourself pleasing to God, then this morning, the plan's simple, but it takes a big step. And we're going to ask you to remember how important that step is. Remembering what Christ did for you, just as this memory of this woman willing to give. Are you willing to give your life to Jesus? If you are, and if we can help you in any way this morning, why not make your way down the aisle? There's plenty of room right here in the front, and we'll be glad to assist you in making sure you don't leave here without a good memory of knowing that you're right with the Lord because of what the Lord has done for you. So if you need to come, why not do so as we stand and sing?